Jesus saved us from sin, then kept the blood. That if we sin and acknowledge the sin and confess the sin, he will forgive us and then use the blood and wash us of that unrighteousness. So the blood of Jesus is like soap. But what if you take it that sin does not count against you and you don't confess it? It's the same thing as not putting your cloth in the soap. You pick a dirty cloth and wear it again. You eat food or stain your cloth and it's a white shirt and you wear it again and you say, this man cannot see the oil. Now God cannot see the sin. So God is blind. Now God doesn't see sin. He does not say, bring book, let us write what he did. No. But your sin is, your sin, the stain is on you. It's not on God. God does not record sin against you, but your soul records the sin you commit. The one nobody sees, your soul records it. You are the only one that knows it. Well, your soul records that you are committing it. But God does not record it, but your soul records it. So by the time your soul stands before God, they see it. When you come, the angels are seeing the sin. And you say, but God didn't record anything against you. You say, yes, bring the book. There's no sin recorded against him, but his soul, it is written in his soul. See. He has not confessed the sins. So the blood of Jesus has not washed it. He can't enter heaven. Sorry, sir. You can't enter here. What did I do? God has forgiven me all the sins on the cross of Calvary. And he does not hold anything against me, sir. We don't hold anything against you here in heaven. But your soul. Your soul has a record against you. It is written in your soul that you committed sin. And you did not confess it. It wasn't forgiven. It wasn't cleansed. Sir, please. Please, sir. People are on the line. Move. I had a vision one day. A vision that shocked me. In that vision, God took me to an ancient city that had a very high wall. And there are rope let down from the wall. And the angels were standing at the top of the city. Of the city wall. People will run and come and catch the rope. They will climb. When they get there, angels will pull some. And pull this one. And this one will give his hand. Pull me up now. Why are you not pulling me up? The angel will not answer him. They know the ones to pull and the ones not to pull. And they will stay there. They can't climb. At that point, you can't climb any further. The angels have to be the one to pull you up. They will be shouting to the angel, what have I done? Why have you not pulled me up? See how far I've traveled and I've come here. And the angels will never answer. They will not answer. They just kept on pulling the one they will pull. And as I came and I climbed, plam, 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 I got there. I said, why would you pull me up? He said, the angel did not answer me. I was talking. He didn't answer me. Amen. He just kept on doing his job. And I heard a voice saying, go back and tell what you have seen. The angels don't answer. They just do what they are told to do. They see the person they will pull and the one they will not pull. They see it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it is written on you. Your righteous deeds are written on you. Your sinful deeds are written on you. The Lord does not write it in heaven. The Lord never say he has committed fornication. Oh yeah, fornication. No. It is the fornication is written on top of you, your soul. And you didn't confess it. So you appear and they see it on you. And when they are looking at you with their gaze, suddenly you realize something is wrong with you. Then when you now look at yourself, your eyes will now open. You will now see it. That is why you will now be ashamed. So nobody needs to tell you, go. You will go. Amen. I remember in Lagos, in this Molue bus, one guy went, I don't know whether he borrowed the suit. The suit was very fine. But his shoe was like somebody that has trekked for many years. So he wore the suit, very confident. He's going for an interview. Held in his fire. Call started in the Molue bus. He forgot that he was in Molue. He was just looking at the fact that he's well dressed. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? He's telling the conductor. You know who I am? You are talking anyhow with me. Do I look like a hungry man? Do you know? He said, who you be? See his shoe. Immediately he said that, the guy now realized that his shoe does for the dressing. He kept quiet. He now paid in the money and dropped down from the bus and disappeared. The Bible didn't say, God shall find you out. He said, your sins shall find you out. Amen. The Bible said they were given white garment, and the white garment to wear, and the white garment was the righteousness of the saints. That means the things they did right is a garment on you. Sin is also a garment. So if you say, I'm a Christian, so sin does not count. Go and wear it. Wear the garment of sin. May you live long. Because if you die young, and you don't know which of us here is the next person living the world, and you think you have enough time, when you appear on the other side, your beauty and your handsomeness, in no day, you will see angels where flying past you. Amen. Then you will know that this your beauty and your handsomeness is nothing. Hello? Hello? Don't let anybody deceive you. Moses said, do not say, who is going to go up there to bring Christ down for us? Or who is going to go to the depth to bring Christ up for us? For the word that is spoken to you is nigh thee, yea, it put upon your mouth, the word of faith which we speak. No man is sent to go and read Hebrew and Greek so that he can bring truth to you. The one you are holding in your hand, this Bible, has enough truth in it. As nobody has been sent by God to anywhere to go and study for the rest of the believers. If the Bible you are holding in your hand is not the same pastor is holding, please, sir, buy Bible for pastor. Don't let anybody say, I went to theological seminary, I studied theology, specialized in historic theology, in interpretative theology, blah, 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 blah. I have come now with full knowledge. Shut up and listen to me, sir. Anything you will teach is still in this Bible. You cannot theologize God.
Yes, sir.
What is theology? Theology is Christian. Christian theology was a development of Christian philosophy. In the ancient world of Greece, their food was philosophy. That means reasoning. They philosophized and arrived at a pattern which the Greek world should develop. There were two worlds, the Athenians and the Spartans. The Spartans were more of warriors, but the Athenians were more of democrats. So the Athenians had more reliance on philosophy. Meaning, they gave time to sit down, and think out the proper way of which the Athenians will live their life to the fullest. So their God was also philosophized. So in their philosophy, which became their theology, you have to add the gods to the reasonings. For the God of rain is different from the God of harvest in Greek. So when harvest is due, they must offer sacrifice to the God of harvest. When rain is coming, they must offer sacrifice to the God of rain. Do you understand? When dry season is coming, they will offer sacrifice to the God of drought, the God of dry season. This is what they thought, that is proper to appease all gods so that they will have no problem. This theology and this philosophy, which is now thinking, the reasoning, was taken abroad through conquest by Alexander the Great, an Athenian, who conquered the world and spread Greek theology and Greek learning and Greek languages all over the then developed world. So there was a man called Constantinus. He was a general in the army of Caesar of Rome. So when Caesar died, he did not leave a writing as to who will inherit him. For he died suddenly, not this Julius Caesar. Every Roman emperor was a Caesar. That was a title given to him, an imperator. So now when he died, when the Caesar then died, he did not leave a note as to who would succeed him. And there were two major generals that were carrying campaigns, conquest campaigns all over the world. So when they heard that Caesar had died, their troops gathered around them and said, "You should be the next Caesar." That was saying, "You should be the next Caesar." So they came to Rome to contend for the office of Caesar. And it was decided that the office of Caesar will only be gotten in the battlefront. So these two armies will fight. Whoever wins becomes the Caesar. Okay? So initially, the insignia of Caesar is eagle. So they have to put a long pole and put the eagle, a cast eagle, on top of it. So both of them had eagle. So the superior eagle will win and become the Caesar. So Emperor Constantine and the other general had eagle as their insignia. That means their symbol of authority. And in the night before the war, Constantine said Jesus appeared to him in his dream. This is a Roman pagan worshiper. And told him, if you will change your insignia to the cross. What is cross? What they use to kill criminals. And the church, the Christians were magnifying the cross because of Jesus. So they knew them, that most of them always beg to die on the cross. So the Lord appeared to him and said, if you will use the cross as your insignia and dump the eagle, you will win the war tomorrow. And Constantine woke up that night, told his carpenters and his forgers that they should remove the eagle and put the cross. And all night they worked. They put cross. So they held the cross in front of them as they were going to war instead of the eagle. True to the word of Jesus, Constantine won that war. So when Constantine won the war, he gave his life to Christ. He believed in Christ. So Christianity became the official religion of Rome worldwide. Shall a nation be born in a day? As soon as Zion prevailed, it gave birth to a nation. It was fulfilled in that day. In one day, Christianity that was an outlaw, that was not within the ambits of constitution, became not only brought into the ambits of constitution, but became the official religion of the entire Roman Empire, and every other way of worship was banned. But when the people realized that Constantine had given an order that they should tear down idolatry, they removed the idols, put them in the vestry underneath, and carry cross and put in front. So publicly they will worship Jesus, secretly they will go and worship the idols. So when Constantine realized that even the soldiers were compromising and they were not arresting them, he decided he has to move out of Rome to the present day Turkey. That time it is called Constantinople. Why? That was his base when he was a general. He conquered that region and it was under his command. So he felt safe to go and stay there. He moved the capital of Rome to Constantinople. And there he built the religion of Christianity. But Constantine now said, in order to beef up Christianity, we have to theologize it. We have to also have Christian philosophy, the teaching and the reasoning about Christ and God. That is where Christian theology was developed. It was never a part of the gospel from the beginning. To theologize Christ was never there. So the talk of exegesis don't exist. A pastor is not crowned by God because he has theology. This thing was ordained from the foundation of the world before we were born. Who will be called and who will not be called? It has nothing to do with your learning or ignorance. So when some clown wants to bring theology to the pulpit, to subject divinity to theology, that means we will have to reason God until it sounds with our reasoning, we will not agree. So God will come down to your level and sit down with you. God never say, let me come and reason with you. He say, come, let us reason. You go up to his level. You can't theologize God. Theology is reasoning around God. So there are theologies of Islam and other religions, but we have Christian theology. You can't theologize God. He cannot bring himself that low to your brain that you will now begin to reason. If it doesn't sound well, you trash it. Once Constantine subjected God to theology, that was the end and the beginning of the fall of Constantinople. The Bible says in the book of the prophets, they put aside the teachings of God and substituted for the wisdom of men. So Ezekiel was told to go and bake bread with human feces. He said, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. God said, use animal dung. And he did not complain. He went and used animal dung. God said, the prophecy that comes out of that place is that these people have left my word and are feeding people with filth, with human reasoning, with theology. This book is not a book of reasoning, a book of human reasoning about God. It's not a book of theology. We don't have a theology. So, saying that our theology should be Christocentric, centered around Christ, is not gospel. Even if there was such a theology, it is to be centered around God and Christ, called eternal life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen?
Amen.
You understand me now?
Yes, sir.
He said to the church, no man teacheth you, but the Spirit of God that is in you will teach you all things. We don't have a Buddha. We don't have a Krishna. We don't have a Muhammad. We don't have a Moses. The Holy Ghost teaches the church. Yes, men of God will be anointed to teach, but it is the Spirit that teaches. So that there is nothing to say this is the order of teaching. This is the theology of this. You don't say that in the church. Because the Bible you are holding is called the sword of the Spirit. It's not the sword of your human spirit. It's the sword of the Holy Spirit. He alone knows how to wield it, when to use it, which passage of the Bible to use, and how to use it. So that if you subject this to theology, you limit the fight of the Holy Ghost. You limit the usage of the sword. So that when the Holy Ghost wants to slay the wicked, you say, no, according to the Christian theology, my God does not kill. You refuse the Holy Ghost to use his sword to get the job done. What the Holy Ghost does in such a situation is to allow you see that that wicked you spared, what he will do to you will make you know why he was supposed to be slain. That is why you must let the sword be the sword of the Spirit. Let him use his sword. Let him use his sword. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will continue tomorrow.